always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. After two Biden cabinet members pressured it, Mexico announced a task force to address the migrant surge at the southern border.
Sources telling ABC News that U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas pushed Mexico to step up immigration enforcement within their country, help reopen ports of entry, and encourage migrants to stay in Mexico. Mexico's foreign affairs minister heeding that request, telling reporters after the meeting that as part of the new task force, Mexico will regularly meet with countries in Central and Latin America. The next meeting will be in January.
ABC's Rachel Bade. The Supreme Court of Michigan is keeping Donald Trump on the state's Republican primary ballot next year, the court declining to take up a challenge to his eligibility over his attempts to overthrow the 2020 election outcome. Comedian Tom Smothers died. The National Comedy Center said it was cancer. Along with Brother Dick, they hosted a popular and controversial late 60s show. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks cut down the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks jumped out to a lead and never looked back. They won 144-122 over the Brooklyn Nets. Chris Middleton, a season-high 27 points.
12,000 is big. Still got a long way to get up to Dame, but no, I'm proud of myself for that. But the feeling great as of late. My legs are coming back. We're playing better team basketball. Just got to figure out on the defensive end.
NFL, the Packers suspending cornerback Jair Alexander for this weekend's game against the Vikings. I asked teammate Eric Stokes if he saw Jair run out there for the coin toss against Carolina.
It was clear as day. You can see when he went out there and all that stuff. I was sitting down on the sideline, but then when I looked up, he was out there.
What's Jair like as a teammate?
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with. At the end of the day, like, he's giving it his all.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to around 39 today with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear down to 23. Tomorrow sunshine 41. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with late day snow showers and a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
OpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
The Zone. Did the chickens come home to roost last night? We'll find out. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yockey. A mix of snow and rain is expected to go on throughout this morning across much of Wisconsin. It should taper off to just rain throughout the afternoon. Temperatures will stay steady in the mid to upper 30s. Winds are moving at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, those showers will continue with lows of 33 degrees. Winds will slow down to about 5 to 10. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will join us in about 15 minutes with more of those forecast details and what it could mean if you're still doing some holiday traveling. We'd like to extend a congratulations to Emma Voss, a junior at UW-Madison. She earned a spot on the National Jersey Queen Court as second alternate. Emma studies agriculture, economics, and dairy science, and she's a strong advocate for Jersey milk. You can learn more about Emma and the National Jersey Queen program at MidwestFarmReport.com. Another story you'll find there, the U.S. pork industry heard good news from a major trading partner. The Philippines will lower tariff rates on imported pork for another year. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says he hopes the Philippines will eventually offer longer-term tariff relief. He says lower tariffs are a tide that raises all boats, and that's a situation he's seen in two other countries.
South Korea and Colombia are good examples of countries that start out with very high duties for inbound pork. Now, you know, they're much lower or duty-free, and we're seeing a situation there where industry is expanding. Per capita consumption has grown over time, and that has benefited domestic pork in both South Korea and Colombia. At the same time, imports have been booming. So that's the ideal situation. If you can grow the pie in whole, it benefits all parties.
Again, these are some of the stories you can find today at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our e-newsletter. And this is how you can get farm news delivered to your inbox every morning. We've got a lot more coming your way this morning. Our live guest later in the hour is Kathleen Wolfley, a broker analyst from EverAg. She predicts when dairy prices will turn around for the better in 2024. But first, Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn will give us a story about how a family farm has evolved to produce a popular adult beverage. Stay tuned.
Agriculture, it looks different through anybody's eyes. But we're going to learn about agriculture in Wisconsin and specialty products. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And some specialty products happen as kind of a value added to agriculture. And I brought in Scott Perlick. He's part of Perlick Distillery up in Sorona. I want to get some of the history and a little bit of the why you guys went to the distillery. So first of all, let's do the history of the farm and how you came to be producing some vodka.
We started this up on my family's farm. I grew up on the farm there. We farm a little over 2,000 acres right now. My dad actually runs the farm, and he grew up on the farm as well. Took the farm over from when my grandpa passed away in the 90s. The farm had maybe 30 cows, dairy cows, you know, maybe 30, 40 acres of land. Just a, you know, Wisconsin dairy farm. And he took it over and decided to start expanding it. He sold off the cows, and he's an agronomist by trade, so he had his own agronomy business and started doing the farming. And so we moved up there in the mid-90s. So we grow corn, wheat, soybeans, rye, sunflowers, barley, and a whole bunch of different specialty crops too. But over the years, you know, we've always looking for ways to add value to our grain. And we tell customers this as they come into the distillery, we have no idea what the price of commodities is going to be, right? If you take a soybean from Wisconsin or a soybean from Brazil, there's no difference, right? And so how do you add some sort of intrinsic value to that product? And the best way to do that is sell directly to the customer. So we've done that in the farm, or my dad's done that in the farm quite a bit. We do, you know, deer corn and sunflowers. We grow a ton of sunflower seeds that we bag in 50-pound bags and sell as birdseed. And those get distributed to retailers throughout northern Wisconsin. We do a sunflower maize on the farm every year, so that's been kind of neat. But we're always looking for ways to add value to this grain. So that's what we did with this distillery. It was ultimately my dad's idea years and years ago. The story he likes to tell is he had some folks from Japan that were actually over the, interested in rye. And so they're really specific about it, and they wanted to look at his rye and his rye field. And he's thinking, geez, if people are coming all the way here from Japan to look at my rye, why not do something different with it, right? Make something out of it. And so he had this idea of either doing a brewery or a winery or a distillery or something we can integrate the crops with. Brewery market was a little saturated, still is a little saturated, so that probably was out of the question. The wine, you know, we grow grain. We're not the greatest at growing grapes, so it kind of left, you know, distilling and what we could do with that. So we kind of batted around the idea of doing the distillery for years. I had graduated high school, gone off, ended up going to the military, ended up doing undergrad right at UW-Stout there, and then ended up going to law school over in St. Paul. And it was about my last year of law school. I was thinking, geez, you know, I could try being an attorney, or we could give this a try. Either way, if it falls through, I'm basically in the same place. So we actually did a lot of research. This was back in 2014, we actually opened. We actually renovated an old barn right on the farm, 100-year-old barn. It used to be the old dairy barn, but it was very, very small. Renovated the upstairs of the tasting room, downstairs of the distillery, and really had no idea what we or I was doing, right? We were in Washburn County.
In order to really get this started, you had to do some research.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you get your information from?
Everywhere. Anywhere we could. We visited a lot of distilleries. One thing we found with distilleries, though, and breweries, too, is they're almost exclusively in the middle of cities or industrial parks or warehouses. And it always struck me as odd because if you go to a winery, right, and say you go out to Napa Valley in California and you go to a winery and it's in an industrial park, you'd probably be going, what the heck, right? And that's what we were seeing a lot with these breweries and distilleries. And it was, I mean, they were making really good products. I'd have no problem drinking it, but their setting was so removed from the grains and everything that was going into it. One thing with that, going back to what you asked, you know, the research, is it was great to see these places, but they were so different from what we were trying to do. I'll give you an example. We have a mound system. You know how many mound systems, distilleries have mound systems in Wisconsin?
Probably not a lot.
One. Us. We were the first mound system for a distillery because nobody's done it. You know, most of the time they're on, municipal water, wastewater supplies and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff with just being on the farm and being so rural with this that we had to do a lot differently. So,
well, and along with being rural, it sounds to me like kind of turn it into an event barn or a little bit of ag tourism that goes in with this.
There's a little bit there. You know, we try to stay as true as we can to we're making vodka primarily. You know, we do make a whiskey as well, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, later. But, you know, primarily we make our American Yeoman vodka, and so we really want to stick to we are making and selling vodka. We do our tasting room. We distribute it throughout Wisconsin, so we have it in probably 300-400 different retail outlets all throughout the state. You know, as far as events and stuff goes, we really wanted to shy away from doing like an event center and that type of stuff because, again, that's getting further away from what we want to do. And that's taking grain that we're growing and add value to it by making it into distilled spirits.
What are some of those products that you have made out of the grain you grow?
Sure. So what we use for our vodka, and you can make vodka of anything. As long as you have alcohol, you can produce vodka. We wanted to take only the grain that's grown on our farm that would make this. So that means we had to find, you know, we had to either use a corn, wheat. We couldn't really use soybeans for it. You can't use sunflowers for it. And we could use rye, right? And actually, when we started this out, I tried doing rye, and I did a rye vodka. And I had the bottles made up and everything. There were some printing issues with the bottles, though. And so I just kind of went off on our wheat. And honestly, we've been chasing our tails ever since, trying to keep up with just the wheat vodka. And so I really haven't changed up anything as far as that, just because we want to produce enough of this. Or Yeoman vodka. So we use wheat. We use a hard red spring wheat for that, which is a little unusual for northern Wisconsin. It's tough to grow, and this is where I have to give my dad a lot of credit. He's been able to figure out how to grow this stuff and grow really good hard red spring wheat for this. And sometimes too good because it has too high of a protein content, and we want a little less for our vodka because we want starches that get broken down into sugars, which ultimately become the alcohol. But we use that. We grow our own barley as well. And we actually have that barley malted. And that malting process basically sprouts the barley just a little bit and produces these enzymes which break down starches into simple sugars. And we need to do that through for our process. Breweries kind of use it for the same thing too. And so we grow barley. We bring that over to Maltworks over in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. It's a smaller malt company that will malt that product for us, our barley. Then we bring that back and we use that in the process. So those are the two main ingredients that we use in this, is our hard-earned spring wheats and the malted barley. So our Yeoman vodka is primarily what we make. So it's just our straight, regular vodka. And personally, I'm kind of a purist. So if I want to make a cocktail, right, I just want a good quality product. And I'll do what I want with it after that, right, whether it's mixing or whatever I'm putting in it. But in the tasting room, we do all different types of cocktails. So we've got every 3 months, we actually change cocktails and do a seasonal menu, and we come up with some really unique drinks. One of the things that we've come up with over the years is a maple syrup flavored vodka. And we originally started doing that because we wanted to make a cocktail using maple syrup. The maple syrup doesn't blend in with cocktails very much just because it doesn't dissolve very well. But if we put that in the alcohol and the vodka prior to mixing in cocktails, it dissolves really well. So we can do a maple syrup flavored vodka. And we've expanded our production over the years. It seems like every year or so we're building something new and expanding production quite a bit. We were able to finally produce enough vodka and find a good enough maple provider that we could actually start making and bottling our maple syrup flavored vodka. Now, it sounds kind of weird, maple syrup, maybe gimmicky, right? And it is not. It's maple syrup, real maple syrup. We work with Compass Farms over by Phillips, Tomahawk, Wisconsin.
Well, and you're talking about getting it out and about in the state. How does that process work?
Yeah, so we work with Bill's Distributing, actually out of Menominee, Wisconsin. And so the way state laws work, and it's fine for us now, because we are big enough, we need a distributor. We sell to the wholesaler, so Bill's in this matter, and then they sell it out to the different retailers, or whoever has a liquor license can buy it from Bill's. So that means any liquor store, any bar, any restaurant, as long as they contact Bill's Distributing, they can buy, the Yeoman vodka.
Any idea how many stores or how many places have your product?
Yeah, so I think we're about 300 to 400 throughout the state right now. But if you want to know exactly, you can go on our website at perlickdistillery.com. And there's a tab that says where to purchase. And if you click on that, it's going to pull up a map. And you can actually put in your address or your zip code or your town, and it'll pull up the closest location that carries the vodka to you.
Where can we find out some more information?
First off, I'd always invite anyone to the distillery. Again, we're open Thursday from 3 to 7, Fridays and Saturdays 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then on Sundays at from 10 a.m. We're very strict those hours. We don't change. If we're advertised that we're open, we're going to be open. We do tours. We ask that we get an email or a heads up on that, just because we are in production 7 days a week. It's tough to do tours sometimes. The best way is to go to our website, again, perlickdistillery.com, and that's P-A-S-I-N-P-A-P-A, E-R-L-I-C-K, distillery.com. You can go there. Most of the information we have is on there. We've got the About Us section. We've got a location map. We've got the where to purchase, like we talked about earlier. They can go on and find out where they can actually buy this throughout the state. One thing we just started doing is some of our cocktails that we've done in the distillery over the years, the tasting room, we've started to compile those with pictures and instructions actually on the website on how they can actually make some of the drinks that we make in the tasting room using the Yeoman vodka.
Agriculture always looks so different and so diverse. It's amazing to me all the different ways we can use the product, value added, and that's Scott Perlick. He's touts is the fifth generation, but I believe that sixth generation is coming up and going to be immersed in agriculture. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Celebration Center.
If your conversations always start with the weather, welcome to the Midwest Farm Report.
And the weather is certainly something I'm tuned in today, as I've still got some holiday traveling to do this week. The snowflake that shows up on my weather app is giving me mixed feelings. I don't want to drive in it, but I'd certainly like the ski hills to open up at some point. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. Stu, what can you tell us about what might be accumulating today?
Well, there could be a little bit. And in fact, over here in eastern Wisconsin, just south of Fond du Lac, looking out my window, everything just has enough snow to cover. In fact, the county plow truck has gone north and south out the window in the last half hour or so. So there's just a little cover here. Nothing more than that. I guess I'd call it maybe a half inch. But that is snow cover, and there's some of that out there this morning. The radar indicating, of course, that there is a pretty large area of precipitation. It's rain from Oshkosh, Appleton, Manitowoc on the eastern part of the state, up through Green Bay, all the way into Wausau in north central Wisconsin. Head down towards Stevens Point, a little mix of some rain and freezing rain, and south of that from Mauston east and south. A little snowfall, heavier snow northeast of Madison and here in the Fond du Lac area, and rain in far southeast Wisconsin as well. So that mix of precipitation is out there. None of it has been all that heavy, a few hundredths of an inch in the rain gauge as far as moisture is concerned, but just enough snow to cover in some areas. Low pressure is just circling off to our southeast. That's the reason that precipitation is still being seen in the Badger State, and it's not just going to end suddenly and move off. I unfortunately have to say that we will have that continued little bit of light precipitation as the day progresses, more likely becoming a little rain and then some snowflakes mixing in again later today or into the nighttime or maybe just into early tomorrow. But it's not going to be a real heavy big snow event, more likely just some rain. Rain amounts heaviest in eastern Wisconsin could be up to a quarter inch or more. In the west, nothing even like that. A whole lot lighter precipitation is all we'll deal with. Temperatures, that's another thing. Still mild enough today, heading into the upper 30s, that we shouldn't have a whole lot of icing problems. But that new snow will be slick, and some of that rain may freeze in a few spots. You know, that chunk of untreated concrete out beside the barn or out in the backyard, that one corner on the little town road you drive on. Could be a little slippery. Be careful with that. But in the grand scheme, temperatures stay fairly mild. And in fact, Friday warming up, a lot of us in the very upper 30s are around 40 degrees Friday. Doesn't bode well for snow cover to stick around. More sunshine developing Friday and into Saturday as high pressure does try to have a little influence here. But again, then late Saturday night, early Sunday, another chance of a little bit of some light rain or a rain-snow mix. Again, I don't expect it to accumulate, not a snowstorm. So today, cloudy skies, rain and snow, some very small accumulations, temperatures in the upper 30s with the north winds 5 to 15. Still cloudy, rain and snow, the mixture changing over now and again overnight, down to 32, the north wind at 5 to 15. Still a slight chance of precipitation in the east and south early, otherwise clouds that will clear out through the day Friday up to about 40 with the north winds at 5 to 10. And mostly sunny on Saturday, Stephanie, 36, west winds 5 to 10. That little mix of precipitation Saturday night, early Sunday, and then sunny but cooler for the new year.
Absolutely. If we can get through the mess today, smooth sailing into 2024. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. We'll catch you back here again tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. After two Biden cabinet members pressured it, Mexico announced a task force to address the migrant surge at the southern border.
Sources telling ABC News that U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas pushed Mexico to step up immigration enforcement within their country, help reopen ports of entry, and encourage migrants to stay in Mexico. Mexico's foreign affairs minister heeding that request, telling reporters after the meeting that as part of the new task force, Mexico will regularly meet with countries in Central and Latin America. The next meeting will be in January.
ABC's Rachel Bade. The Supreme Court of Michigan is keeping Donald Trump on the state's Republican primary ballot next year, the court declining to take up a challenge to his eligibility over his attempts to overthrow the 2020 election outcome. Comedian Tom Smothers died. The National Comedy Center said it was cancer. Along with Brother Dick, they hosted a popular and controversial late 60s show. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks cut down the nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks jumped out to a lead and never looked back. They won 144-122 over the Brooklyn Nets. Chris Middleton, a season-high 27 points.
12,000 is big. Still got a long way to get up to Dame, but no, I'm proud of myself for that. But it's feeling great as of late. My legs are coming back. We're playing better team basketball. Just got to figure out on the defensive end.
NFL, the Packers suspending cornerback Jair Alexander for this weekend's game against the Vikings. I asked teammate Eric Stokes if he saw Jair run out there for the coin toss against Carolina.
It was clear as day. You can see when he went out there and all that stuff. I was sitting down on the sideline right there. When I looked up, he was out there.
What's Jair like as a teammate?
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with. At the end of the day, like, he's giving it his all.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to around 39 today with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear down to 23. Tomorrow sunshine 41. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with late day snow showers and a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion into your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
First sentence is, it appears the inmates are now running the asylum in Green Bay.
Here's a crew perfectly comfortable using baler twine as a belt. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back on a Thursday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. For Christmas this year, Santa brought me the 2024 Farmer's Almanac. And one of my favorite chapters is the agriculture trends for the new year. And they can be pretty eye-opening. One trend that I picked out that I haven't heard before is that people will loan their yard to students. These students grow food there and then donate it either to pantries or their school. I don't know anyone who does this, but if you do, let me know. Send me a text at 877-301-FARM. Again, our talk text line, 877-301-3276. The buzzword for loaning your yard out either to students or other gardeners is called yard sharing. And this is one of the trends I found in the old Farmer's Almanac. In other news, the potato industry is supporting a new grant that aims to bolster potato research at UW-Madison. The Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association gave funds to extension specialist and professor Matt Ruark. This makes him the first ever BCS chair. And BCS is an acronym that honors past researchers at the university. Matt is getting $85,000 per year over the next 5 years to support potato research. He tells me what he's got planned for these dollars, but first he says he's not a stranger to potatoes. He's done a lot of research in this sector during his 15 years at UW.
So I've done a fair amount of work in the Central Sands of Wisconsin, focusing mostly on nitrogen management, on potato and vegetable crops grown there. It's a sensitive environment with sandy soils. It doesn't, you know, retain a lot of nitrogen in the soil. So improving nutrient management in those systems is really important. So I've worked across, you know, I've worked on a lot of different studies to try to improve nitrogen uptake in potato, reduce nitrate leaching, and also to try to improve soil health.
You're the first ever recipient then of these awards from the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association to continue this work. Tell me, what are your plans over the next 5 years? What do you hope to get done? What types of questions are you going to be exploring?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, I think first is just to continue a lot of on-farm research as it pertains to nitrogen management and potato production, but also start to synthesize all of these things that I've done over the past 15 years and try to build these larger databases and try to really develop it all into a functioning tool for potato growers to improve the timing of their nitrogen and understand if there's opportunities to improve that nitrogen use efficiency in order to reduce nitrate loss.
Can you walk me through an example of an on-farm research project that you're doing today that growers would be, you know, interested in hearing about?
Yeah. So one of the big things that we're setting here is some of these nitrogen fertilizer technologies. So one of them are these polymer-coated ureas. So these are it's urea fertilizer that's coated in a thin plastic that allows for a slow release of the nitrogen into the environment. And we've seen it work really well at our experiment station, and we've started to test it out on farmer fields in cooperation with the farmers, and have had actually the past year shown really great success with using the product in terms of perhaps there's some opportunities to cut back on the total nitrogen that we apply when we use a product like this. So it leads to some potential reductions in nitrate leaching.
So would you be able to do stuff like this if you didn't get this award?
Well, you know, and the WPVGA, the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, they do fund research every year. So I've been lucky enough to receive funding from them every year to support research. Now, what this will do is allow me to expand the research and build more capacity and develop some different things with these additional funds.
What about growing your own team? I mean, I imagine you're not doing all of this alone, Matt. So do these dollars help recruit students, for example, or research assistants?
Exactly. Absolutely. And actually, I've already hired a postdoc to start working on some of these data sets and putting information together, and then to develop even more research ideas as it relates to potato and nitrogen management. So absolutely, yeah. So what this really funds are people, and which is the just a fantastic resource to have.
And that's got to be valuable when you're working with an industry to actually be face-to-face with these farmers. How much time do you usually spend on farm with commercial growers?
Yeah, no, I'm lucky enough to be able to, a lot of growers will let us on their farm to do soil samples and to set up experiments. And so it's some interaction, obviously, during the growing season, but then also a lot of interaction throughout the year to talk about research ideas, develop ideas for the next year. And then we also have a big potato conference every year where we present all the information.
And we've been talking a lot about potatoes, Matt, but it is potato and vegetable growers, other vegetables, other specialty crops here in the state. Do you do any work with, you know, the carrots or the onions or the celeries of Wisconsin?
Green beans and sweet corn, a lot of research with that, exploring how different varieties interact with, you know, how much nitrogen is needed for different varieties. There's some really interesting varietal differences in those crops that, where some need more nitrogen, some need less nitrogen. And then exploring just other cover cropping and nitrogen management practices within those crops. But that's another industry where, yeah, they also provide a fair amount of support and research support, and also have a great collaboration with those groups.
Matt Ruark, along with us, the inaugural BCS chair at UW-Madison, supported by the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. Matt is an extension specialist and soil science professor. He'll be getting $85,000 a year over the next 5 years to amp up the research happening across the state that makes growing potatoes more economically and environmentally viable.
Wow, 2023 has been quite the year for Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Judy, Lisa, Scott, and the crew at Bavaria Sausage. All those smiling faces you see behind the counter when you walk in the door at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5, of course, observing the holidays. Always available online at BavariaSausage.com. Or if you're looking for something special, hey, that's what they're all about. When it comes to authentic flavors, give them a call. 800-733-6695. That's 800-733-6695. All the folks at Bavaria Sausage sincerely want to thank you for your business in 2023 and encourage you to check back often for all the new products that are coming online in 2024. From everyone at Bavaria Sausage Kitchen, happy holidays, and here's to a brand new year.
We've got more details on when state money for rural roads is going to start heading out the door. Representative Travis Tranel is the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee and one of the authors of the Agricultural Road Improvement Program, otherwise known as ARIP. It's a $150 million investment that'll go to fix roads and bridges primarily used by farmers. The bill passed back in June, and the Department of Transportation is getting ready to start the program. Representative Tranel tells me what the draft proposals say so far.
It looks like DOT is definitely following what our intent was. They shared with us some of their draft proposals. I think what people might be most interested in, when is this money going to get out the door? And it looks like what they're considering doing is doing two separate rounds of funding. And they're considering opening up the first round in January with a due date for those applications of March 15th, 2024. And then from there, The committee is going to make its announcements at the end of May in 2024 for the first round, and then they're going to do the same process, open it up for a second round. The second round applications will be due in the middle of August, and then they're going to make the announcements at the end of October in 2024. So far, I would say our office is pleased with the direction that DOT is headed.
Representative Travis Tranel joining us. He chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee, and he's been keeping an eye on the progress of the Agricultural Road Improvement Program. The Department of Transportation is drafting a proposal on how to administer the program. Representative Tranel is optimistic so far about the plans. And speaking of optimism, cheese and butter prices have been rising this week. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese was up 4.5 cents at $1.47. The 40-pound block cheese was up 2.5 cents at $1.41.5. And double A butter closed up 8 cents at $2.62.25. Kathleen Wolfley is a broker agent from Everegg, and she'll join us shortly for some context as to why we're seeing the numbers move the way they are. Cash corn is down a penny and three quarters at $4.74.75. 2024 new crop corn is trading down a penny and a half at $5.05 a bushel. Cash beans are down a penny and a half at $13.15.25. And 2024 new crop beans are also trading down a penny and a half at $12.63.75. But cash wheat is trading up a half a cent at $6.23.5. And July new crop wheat is also up a half a cent at $6.40 a bushel. Stick around. Everegg joins us next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Moves like these before.
If you combine pajamas and rubber boots to check on the barn, we welcome you. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, rounding out a Thursday. Kathleen Wolfley is our live guest this morning. She's an agent and broker with Everegg. And ahead of our conversation, Kathleen, you told me that a lot of the phone calls you're getting this time of year from producers center around how supply and demand are shaping up this current price environment that we're in. We saw cheese and butter see a lift on the close yesterday. So does that mean you have good news for us this morning?
Good morning, Stephanie. I think as we sit here at the end of December, we're walking a pretty delicate line between supply and demand. Clearly, milk production in the U.S. has been trending lower, but at the same time, demand-side dynamics are also fairly weak. As you mentioned, we have seen a little bit of an upswing in the past few days in both cheese and butter. I think that that could be driven in some part by post-Christmas backfilling and potentially some opportunistic buying following a stretch of of weaker prices. In any case, my suspicion is that, a little bit higher is a little bit higher. The support may not be game-changing in the market in the near term.
So what is supporting? Well, you said some of the after Christmas, but you don't think the support is going to continue?
You know, I think that we're kind of in this position where there's a lot of questions around domestic demand as well as international demand. We're in this position where consumer sentiment, consumer health, following a slowing in interest rate hikes, cooler inflation, it has certainly, I think, put people in a little bit better mood. But I'm still fairly concerned that U.S. consumers can't continue to spend as much as they have been. And I just have to wonder if we get through post-holiday credit card bills and things like that, and people realize, hey, you know what, I might need to tighten my belts after a fairly speedy and large spending in 2023. So, from my perspective, lends a little bit of questioning around, can we continue to see a fairly aggressive buying like what we've seen at the CME in the last couple of days?
So the checkbook,
and I would say,
go ahead.
I would say, too, from the export side of the fence, that's one that we've been watching very, very closely. As price competitiveness is something that has certainly played a huge factor in 2023. Our prices are probably low enough on a spot basis for cheese today. Meanwhile, as we look into the futures market, we're still looking at a 175 plus pricing Q2 and beyond. So, just a lot of questions around, can we get some exports off and booked, and can those sustain throughout 2024?
So as you said, Kathleen, it sounds like the checkbook is a little tight for consumers here domestically. And then when it comes to international demand, that's going to depend on how affordable U.S. product is. Can you give me a sense of where we stand among some of our competitors when it comes to how attractive we are on the export market?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. We are in a competitive position today, particularly as we compare something like European mozzarella. That's a big product that we're watching from importers being able to flip from product to product, European mozzarella versus U.S. product, U.S. mozzarella. And I think that, again, with our prices in the 140s for cheese, that does create a little bit more opportunity versus European prices that are in the mid 170s. I think that, again, the big question is, can we be competitive on a longer term basis with futures second quarter and beyond above that 175 mark, as I mentioned?
Are these unknowns common for this time of year? We know farming is cyclical. We know prices can be cyclical. Are there cyclical trends to be aware of in early 2024? And is this a part of it?
I think that demand can be a little bit more hit or miss, and there are a tremendous amount of unknowns as we go forward into 2024, as you mentioned. But I would say that the demand weakness that we're seeing today is probably not all that cyclical. Rather, I think that to some extent, general economic malaise across not just the U.S., but the global marketplace has been driving some of these softer tones. And again, I think it's really important to keep in mind that we're not just talking about U.S. demand. We're talking about the rest of the world. And when we look across the export market, those key importers of U.S. products, demand growth there, dairy demand growth specifically, has been relatively lackluster over the course of the last 12 months or so. And I think that just generally, when we think about 2024, we're going to be keeping a really close eye on places like China, places like Southeast Asia, where they do purchase a lot of dairy products, cheese to some extent as well. Do those folks start to come out of the woodwork and buy a little bit more? Does their economy start to support a little bit more dairy growth?
So that's the environment that we're in right now. And Kathleen, I know a large part of your role with EverEgg is to help producers make decisions then on how to manage their risk on the farm. And so I'm wondering, what are you telling specifically Wisconsin dairymen and women today about how to protect themselves and their prices?
Yeah, that's a great question. So like I mentioned, I think there is this delicate balance between supply and demand today. But I still think that there's a tremendous amount of risk on the table as we go into early 2024, especially. So with that in mind, I really encourage folks to take a hard look at risk management opportunities, whether it's the dairy margin coverage program, dairy revenue protection insurance, or forward contracting type programs. We should know more about the dairy margin coverage program that's run through USDA. Those signups, I imagine, would start within the next couple weeks. And to me, that's a no-brainer type of program, as it historically has paid out about 70% of the time. And we saw that program come really into play in 2023. At the same time, I'm talking to folks about leaning into programs like the Dairy Revenue Protection and Insurance Program in order to limit some of the downside risk while keeping any potential upside opportunities in play.
Kathleen Wolfley along with us, a broker and agent with Everegg. You can get a hold of them pretty easily online at ever.ag. Kathleen, what is the best way to get a hold of you personally?
Yeah, best way is to reach me via email at kwolfley@ever.ag or on the phone at 585-252-5626.
Thanks for joining us, Kathleen. We'll catch you back here tomorrow on The Early Show.
We're getting put out to pasture for today. Back tomorrow morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The push for greener fuels boosts market options for soybean growers today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com.
This is probably the biggest demand driver in U.S. agriculture today. It is sizable, and we're now using more soybean oil for renewable diesel than we are for domestic consumption.
That's Dan Bossi, president of the Risk Management and Advisory Service Ag Resource Company, speaking at the American Seed Trade Association's recent convention. Bossi says demand is spurring new processing facilities around the country as well.
It's happening. It's underway. We're bringing more and more plants that will be opening to crush soybeans in 2024. It's about 200 million bushels on an annual basis. This is a big deal. The year after that will be about 240 million bushels. And so the crush industry is coming along very nicely.
Bossi says the volume of interest in renewable diesel is not bad news for soybean growers.
It's going to take more soybean oil going forward, and its share of renewable diesel is going to be rising over 50% by the first quarter of next year. So this is a developing story that's going to add some real bullishness to the soybean oil market, at least in the first quarter of next year.
Bossi returns tomorrow to talk about projected plantings for the 2024 corn and soybean crops. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. Airports expected to be packed today, the post-Christmas travel rush making this one of the busiest travel days of the year.
In the air, this holiday travel week already seeing a long list of flight delays.